Hello, my friends. Michael Youssef here, and I just wanted to thank you for connecting with Leading the Way. Our entire team is wholly committed to passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth of God's Word, and it cannot be done without you. Learn more about what God has charged us to do around the world by clicking around ltw.org. That's ltw.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you as you seek to serve Him. I have received numerous letters, emails, correspondence, verbal messages, communications of people who have said, thank you for not compromising the message of Christ. Thank you for not going along to get along and water down the message. We know it's not popular, but thank you. Well, that's not all of the story. That's not all of it. I've received also notes, verbal words of criticism and attack for the same reason. Some have said, I am harsh and unbending. Others have said that I lack compassion and understanding. Others have said, why do you have to see everything in black and white? Can't you see the gray? Others have said, why can't you accommodate to culture and the direction of where people are? Why do you keep standing where you are? Some listeners have written to me and said how angry I make them when they listen to me on radio. I remember one particular message, a lady said, my husband gets so angry every time he listens to you. Well, that's good news. Because I often say, dead people don't kick. He's got a life in him. She said, because of that stubbornness of yours and insisting that only Jesus can take people to heaven, that only salvation comes through Him alone. Well, that goes on and on and on. I'm not going to focus on that. Because most of these people, most of our listeners and viewers, and they really don't know me. Many people don't know why I would rather incur the wrath of viewers and listeners than be a sellout. They don't know my experience growing up, which has helped shape what they call stubbornness and total commitment to non-compromising of the Word of God. They don't understand my global and historic perspective. They don't know that growing up in the Middle East under severe persecution, I have seen what happens to compromise. As a boy, I heard a slogan repeatedly. Everywhere I went, I heard the slogan. A slogan that I have never dreamed in my wildest imagination be repeated 40 years later. Not in the Middle Eastern streets, but in the European streets and American streets. And the slogan went something like this. Once we finish Saturday, meaning Israel, we're going to turn on Sunday and finish you off Sunday, meaning Christians. I grew up hearing that Islam will dominate the world sooner or later, that Islam would enslave the infidels in the decadent West, that Islam will turn every church into a mosque. As a boy, I thought this was just propaganda, this just wishful thinking. Surely that could never happen. And I dreamed of escaping as a young boy to the freedom of the West. And God, so gracious, to whom I am thankful, that supernaturally did take me out in the end of the 60s. And I was able to escape. And as soon as I learned to speak English, I began to write back in the 70s and in the 80s to warn the Western world of what is coming and what is happening. And then God began to burden my heart that the answer is not fear, is not anger, is not retaliation, it is not frustration, but proclamation. Proclamation of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ uncompromisingly. And as I look back in the past 20 years of broadcast ministry, I am so grateful to God for giving us all these opportunities that I have never sought or went after, that He had provided every one of those opportunities. I am thankful to God that He founded a church. And I know people say Michael founded the church, but God founded this church. As many of you know, I really came along for the ride reluctantly. God founded this church, and I'm so thankful to Him that He founded a church with a global vision. I am thankful to God that He has given us partners who understand the challenges of the times in which we live, difficult and severe as they may be. I am thankful to God for giving us friends and supporters who understand that the only answer to the challenges that we are facing and the more difficult challenges that we will be facing, that the only answer is the gospel, not the gospel of accommodation, not the gospel of syncretism, not the gospel of compromise, not the gospel of pandering, not the gospel of wanting to be accepted at any price. No, but the gospel that Jesus and Jesus alone can save men and women, boys and girls. Beloved, you have to understand that I was supposed to be dead long time ago. When the devil, I guess, could not get me aborted, he tried typhoid. When typhoid wouldn't kill me, he tried hepatitis. When hepatitis didn't kill me, he just gave up. And the reason I'm alive today is a miracle of God, and for which I am so thankful to the Lord. And I remember back then, I made a vow to God that as long as He gives me a breath, that I will proclaim Him and His truth of His gospel until my dying day. Whether people love me or hate me, whether people praise me or loathe me, it makes no difference. Whether they accept me or reject me, whether people agree with me or not, whether people are able to comprehend the dangerous times in which we live or not, whether people help seize the opportunities that God has provided us to literally turn the world upside down or not, it makes no difference. As we celebrate these 20 years of broadcast ministry, I want to talk to you about these opportunities. I want to talk to you about these incredible opportunities that God has provided for us. Opportunities that can literally change the world as we know it. Opportunities that could impact our world so uniquely in modern times. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 8, only one verse. Jesus is speaking to the church in Philadelphia in Asia Minor, and He said to that wonderful, magnificent church, "Behold, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Behold, I set before you an open door that no one can shut." Now, even the dearest and the nearest friends that I have for all these years have seldom heard me say what I'm about to say. And that is, I believe that I have today a prophetic word for the Church of Jesus Christ. Not outside of the Scripture, but consistent with the Word of God. There is a word from the Lord to believers all over the globe. And the word is this: as the Lord had spoken to the church in Philadelphia, He is speaking to the church today. And He is saying, "I know that you are facing challenging times. I know that you live in frightening times. I know that you live in times of widespread apostasy in the church. I know that you live in times when it's all about you. I know that you live in times where the church is opting to worship a God who hardly resembles the God of the Scripture. I know that you live in times where leisure and entertainment is more important than my work. I know that you live in a time where the church would rather entertain than proclaim. I know that you live in times where comfort and security are more important than my gospel. I know that you live in times where the majority of people seem to be oblivious to the danger that is surrounding them, the danger that is lurking on every side. I know that you live in times where people care more about their feelings than the truth of my gospel. I know that you live in times where people are focusing on more on their past hurts and on past rejections and on their past pains and their past feelings than my future kingdom. I know that you live in a time when people, church leaders, are more anxious to bless and sanction immorality than eternity. But behold, I set before you an open door that no one can shut. Recently, the Archbishop of Canterbury made a pronouncement several months ago, and he announced that it would be a wonderful thing if the Sharia courts, these are the courts that interpret the strict Islamic laws, not even Muslims like them, be operating side by side with British courts. Within a few months, the British government announced 5 new courts all across the land and more to follow. From Manchester to Birmingham to London. Now in England, a man can beat his wife and goes to the court, the Sharia court in England, and will be exonerated. And then honor killing and all the rest of it. There are Muslim women who are leaving England now out of fear. Listen to me, we live in dangerous times. I can hardly imagine what that society will be in 10 years' time. But don't worry, it is coming to America. It's coming to America. Unless we wake up in time, it will be too late in America. Islam has already dominated the hearts and souls of many European countries. Through fear and intimidation, they have accomplished what could not have been accomplished through guns and weapons. More and more, what I've heard as a boy in the Middle East is now being proclaimed in Brussels and in Paris and in London and the European capitals. Slogans such as Islam will fill the vacuum created by materialism and immorality in the West. Islam will rule the West are becoming reality today. What I thought of to be an impossibility 45 years ago, what I thought was wishful thinking 45 years ago, is happening today as I'm speaking to you. And Jesus is saying to his faithful children, listen, I'm getting too old to tippy-toe around the tulips, okay? Might as well get it. I ain't going to soften when I get older. I'm going to get harder, all right? Get ready for it. Amen. 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 Give God glory. Amen. In the midst of all this, Jesus is saying to his church, behold, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. The truth be said, I personally never dreamed of having the opportunities and the open doors that God has opened. I never sought them. I never went after them. In fact, many times I've prayed to God to close those doors. I never would have dreamed that we would be here 20 years later. All I did back then when God saved my life so many times is I said, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want, all of me, I belong to you. Nothing will be left for Michael Youssef. All that I am is yours. That's all I did. And he opened these doors. And I know probably some of you are saying, Michael, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, we got enough troubles in our communities. We got enough troubles in our country. We got enough problems right here. We have to worry about somebody over there. Well, we need to hunker down and just worry about America. Listen, I worry for all of you because I know more problems than you do. But people were saying, Michael, we just need to focus on our little world. We need to focus on our little community. We need to focus, as some friend of mine said years ago, he said, whenever you have a leak, all the mopping in the world will not stop it. What you need to do is go over and plug the leak. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing as we're attacking that gospel, the doors that God has opened to the ends of the earth. And that's what we're doing. When Jesus said to the disciples to go to Jerusalem and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, he knew that the temptation for them to stay in Jerusalem. He knew that. He knew, however, that without that global vision, Christianity would wither on the vine. And within 20 years, probably we would have read in history books about this Jewish cult called Christians who have died. See, the Lord Jesus knew all of that. He knew that without plugging that leak in maybe 5,000 miles away, there will be no Christianity. And that is why in the book of Acts chapter 11, the Bible said that God literally sent persecution to the believers in Jerusalem so they'll be forced to be scattered all over the world so that they can take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Why do we have to wait until something drastic that happens to take advantage of the doors of opportunity that God has given us? Behold, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Many of you know, I was very reluctant to get on radio. As we were too busy, we got so much going on. But as I look back, I honestly give thanks to God for those of you who have encouraged me back then when things really were teetering on closing. I thank God for those of you who had the vision before I did. I thank God for those of you who have said that God raised this church so that it may impact the world. I thank God for all of those of you who have said, don't close the doors that God has opened. I thank God for you. And I confess to you, and God is my witness, I have never thought in my wildest dreams that we would have the program in 20 languages, in 20 major languages of the world, covering 3.9 billion people. I would never have dreamed of a television program in 200 countries and territories. I certainly never thought that we would have our own dedicated satellite channel to reach into those areas of the world that is so desperate for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I never thought that those countries where they've been killing Christians and burning churches, that in those countries where Christians are suffering, in those countries where young girls get abducted from shopping malls and then forcibly marrying non-Christians, those are the countries and those are the areas where Christianity is illegal, that God, in my wildest imagination, never thought he's going to give us 24/7 satellite channel to preach the gospel to that part of the world. A ministry that started with one part-time person. That's how leading the way it was. A ministry that I personally hardly spend any time with it. And here we are, given the potential, literally, to turn our world upside down. My beloved friends, listen. We stand at a crossroad of history. We really do. And we can walk through these doors of opportunities that God has opened for us, that Jesus has opened for us, or we can look at our current economic conditions and take counsel of our fears and do nothing. We have the choice. I know the temptations that we all face. We are all susceptible to being impacted by our material society, by our materialistic thinking. We underestimate and we don't even think about the power of God that can use a widow's mite in a way that we can ever dream of. Why do we have to wait until we face a crisis? Why do we have to wait until we face trouble to realize that the kingdom of God must come first, not last? That the crumbs do not go to God, but the first fruit? Why do we have to wait until we get to a crisis to realize that the formula for success in the Christian life was given to us by Jesus? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all of your problems are going to be met. All of your needs are going to be met. But we focus on our needs and then let the kingdom go by the wayside. We are reversing Jesus' formula. No wonder so many people are in trouble. Listen, I know that God can do his work without any of us. Listen, I can tell you this. Every waking moment, I am conscious of the fact that God can do his work without me. In fact, he can do it better. But when we don't obey and go through the open doors that God has given us, we are the losers. Not God, not His kingdom. He's going to do His work. When Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, therefore go," He is saying, "I give you my authority. I give you my strength. I give you my power. For He is in you is greater than He is in the world." So we can either take that authority or refuse it. You know, history is littered with tragic stories of opportunities that have been missed by Christians. History tells us that when Muhammad, the founder of Islam, was wanting to know more about Christianity, he understood Judaism somewhat, and he wanted to know more about Christ and about Christianity, and he was searching and invited the bishops from the local area, from around the surrounding areas, to come and tell him who Jesus is, what Christianity is all about. And that little bit of history said that these bishops, right in his presence where he was sitting, began to fight and argue and debate among themselves about the divinity of Christ. And finally, he just sent him away, and he decided to come up with his own brand of understanding of who Jesus is, what Christianity is all about. And today, over a billion people in the world today stand as a monument to the colossal failure of those church leaders. An opportunity was missed, never to return again. Fast forward 20 or 30 years, church in North Africa. Most of you know who St. Augustine is. He comes from the Church of North Africa. Those countries that we call Libya, Tunisia, Morocco, Algiers. The church has flourished for the first 600 years in North Africa and was growing in leaps and bounds. Some estimates that 80% of the population were Christians. Thousands upon thousands of churches. And yet they came under the spell of a heresy called Montanism. And that heresy said that the Bible is not closed, that God can still speak with authority today, that God can give new revelations to somebody and to be just as equal as the Bible, that the Bible is not a closed book, that the Bible is not the canon, meaning the measuring stick by which we measure everything. And that heresy spread like wildfire throughout North Africa after a glorious time of church flourishing there. And when the Muslim invaders came from Arabia, the people said, "Is God speaking authoritatively?" One religion as good as the other. Beloved, listen to me. Universalism destroyed Europe and opened the door for Islamic takeover. And universalism will do the same here. Universalism always precedes a major disaster. Wake up. An opportunity is gone. Thousands of churches turned into mosques in a very short period of time. Fast forward 600 years. In the year 1271, when Niccolo and his brother Matteo Polo, this is the father and the uncle of Marco Polo, and when these two brothers went east and they met with Kublai Khan. Kublai Khan at the time was ruler over China and over India, over major part of the East. He was a powerful ruler. And when he felt attracted to the person of Jesus Christ, as he heard about him from his visitors, here's what he said to his visitors. He said, "You go back to your high priest and you tell him to send us 100 men learned and trained in your religion. And I want them to come to our country, and I will be baptized, and my noblemen and my barons will be baptized, and their subjects will be baptized, and there will be more Christians in this land than in Europe." And when they returned to Europe, they did nothing for 20 years. And 20 years later, they sent two or three missionaries, too little, too late, and a door of opportunity was missed. Can you imagine if back then Christianity dominant in Asia. Can only imagine. Can only imagine. And Jesus is saying, behold, I set before you an open door that no one can shut. Will you go through it with me? Will you go through it with me? I can't do it alone. You know that. Or will you ignore it? Continue to focus on our challenges and our problems and our hurts and our pain and our difficulties. When Jesus said, here's a formula to take care of your pain, to take care of your problems, to take care of your need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Will you walk through them with me? Or will you let our grandchildren look back and say, why? Why haven't you done something? Why didn't you act when you could? The most amazing thing about this particular letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Philadelphia, the most amazing thing, they were doing so many good things in that church. This was not a church that caught into heresies. And they were doing some good things. And he commended them for it. That's the great thing about our Lord. He saw the good and he commended them for it. But he did not stop there. He did not say to them, it's enough that you have kept my word. It's enough that you have not compromised my name. Or it's enough that you have kept the truth. Or it's enough that you have remained biblically sound. Or it's enough that you have refused to compromise. Or it's enough that you have good fellowship with one another. Or it's enough that you have encouraged one another. Or it's enough that you are growing in the knowledge of the word. No! Good as all of these things may be, important as all of these things may be, and while Jesus commends them for all these things, he went on to say, now I want you to impact your culture for me. Now I want you to impact your society for me. Now I want you to impact my world for me. Let me tell you this as I conclude. A story that I have read many years ago, and I've shared it on a number of occasions because it impacted my thinking. It impacted my prayer life as I look at opportunities that God provides. And it's a story of a prominent sculptor who was hosting in a private tour for a very important person, a VIP. And as the visitor was going around the studio and admiring the different sculptures, the different statues, and he was looking and with admiration at the handiwork of this craftsman, he came at one of those statues and he almost was shocked. He stopped dead in his tracks and he kept looking at it, and finally he turned to his host and he said, what is this? Because when he looked at that statue, in the place of a face, there was hair, and the hair was covering the face. And then at the feet, and the sides of the feet, there are wings. And his host said to him, he said, this statue is called Opportunity. He said, Opportunity? Well, why the hair covering the face? He said, oh, because when opportunities come, we seldom see them or recognize them. He said, okay, what about these wings? He said, oh, these wings, because when those opportunities fly away, they seldom can be caught up with. Beloved, listen. The opportunities for us to be sharers of the good news will not last forever. In fact, we have a very small window of opportunity. And as we've seen from history, once they've gone, they cannot be repeated. And Jesus said, behold, I have set before you an open door. Will you go through that door? Or will you go back and focus on all your little problems? And then, as an afterthought, oh yeah, I'm supposed to pray for the kingdom of God. I'm supposed to seek His kingdom first. Let me plead with you. Let me urge you. Wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, none of what you're going through is a strange thing to God or surprise to God.
I believe with all my heart that God wants to bless His work. He wants to bless His kingdom. You and I are the instruments.